politicians and policymakers have had their head in the sands whilst this revolution has been taking place around us with huge advances in technology.
Go public.
It's a South by Southwest Extra from Austin, Texas. An international mayor takes a star turn. The host city turns back to rideshare. And we put the self in self-driving cars as we go public.
From government, technology, and governing, this is Go Public. Stories of government getting it done.
Hey, it's Paul Taylor. Dustin Heiser will be here in a minute. A little later, we review Civic.io. That's the mayor's track here at South By, with governing's J.B. Wogan, David Kidd. We also have Julia Burrows. She's director of the Governing Institute, and she saw firsthand as mayors filled a room to listen to another mayor. It may have been a minor breach of protocol, but Julia was our designated fly on the wall. Julia, set this up.
Mayor Salik Khan of London, England, was in Texas today, and he was welcomed very collegially by 30 other of the top mayors across the country. A panel was moderated by Nan Whaley of Dayton, Ohio, and she asked him some very interesting questions, including why does the mayor of London come to South by Southwest? And he said, because technology can help us all solve many of our most pressing challenges. Mayor Khan referenced this being the fourth industrial revolution, and that we still need the human touch while we're solving problems with technology. And I thought one of his most brilliant quotes was, democracy is a beautiful thing, and there is no alternative.
Host Mayor Adler listened intently to the discussion and had two takeaways.
The immediate future, the interim future, is all about cities. Cities are where innovation is found. Cities are the economic engines for countries. And while things are difficult at the international level sometimes and polarized at the federal level here in this country, the direct communication that is happening city to city, the alliances that are being formed, is unique to my experience and so encouraging and so helpful. It is nonpartisan, it is without regard to party, because the challenges that he's facing in London with affordability and housing issues are the same issues that we're facing in Austin, facing in New York and Portland and San Francisco and Seattle and Boston. So when mayors get together now, there's a hunger for that. And to hear him reemphasize that as the mayor of London, I think, was affirming.
Julia's back with JB and David with South By in review as we wrap the episode. Now, while they were taking careful note of mayors talking about doing mayor things in mayor ways, Dustin and I hit the streets, lured by an invitation from a subsidiary of Mercedes-Benz. It asked a geekily compelling question. Who wants to be a self-driving car? When we got to the park the company's taken over for the festival, we walked right past a smart car and right past a Mercedes AMG GTR. Ultimately, we found ourselves beside what looks like an angular and clunky World War II era mini Jeep. It's got a light roll cage and it's loaded full of sensors, LiDAR, and a VR headset. And the designers inverted the seat so the onboard human is heads down and head forward. Raphael Ryman with Benz R&D Skunkworks Movil Labs said the upside down seat is on purpose.
As you figured out, this is by design actually, and we wanted to have people immerse into technology, so you're kind of diving head first into the car, and by diving head first into it, you kind of become part of it and also have a sense of vulnerability.
Dustin took it first.
I will add that Paul also joined me in said experience, and the video is available online. It was really interesting. This self-driving vehicle was more like a golf cart without the top portion. You ride head first, wear virtual reality goggles, and basically see what self-driving cars see today.
Should mayors take that trip on that inverted golf cart?
I think so. I think it's really helpful for policymakers to understand the technology that they're building policies for. And although they can't become experts in machine learning and AI and all of the other things that go into it, it does help for them to become more familiar with the limitations of the technology. And the beauty of what Moovil did with this experiment is they simplified the experience of self-driving cars. I didn't need to know about, you know, LiDAR or all the sensor data. I was just able to perceive it and view it with my own eyes. And, you know, we saw firsthand the limitations of that. And also, you know, we didn't go too quick when your head is the lead bumper on the vehicles.
The experimental vehicle is a useful but only small part of Moovil's aspirations to drive the future. And North American CEO Nat Parker told us they are in a high-stakes competition to fundamentally change the way urban transportation is done.
We see a future where owning a car and driving every day may actually be more painful than having a whole set of choices at your fingertips through a Moovil-powered application. So we sit with cities, we build them white-labeled mobile apps where they can combine all the various modes through an easy one-stop shop to search, book, and pay.
Are there uniquely American points of resistance to all of this?
Given that I'm standing in the most German part of the American South by Southwest Festival, absolutely there are. Look, let's be clear. Cities, in our mind, are the perfect incubator for the kinds of innovation and the risk-taking, quite frankly, that allows us to learn. And so states will clearly have a role. States are helping to create those broader standards, but I think cities are where the action is. Let's not be caught by any one city. I think that Southern California right now, the LA Basin, is just such a wonderful place to solve true pain when it comes to commuting. Anyone who lives in the LA Basin, you know, can talk about how many hours a day are lost trying to get from point A to point B. So I think that's another great hotbed for innovating and trying new things. And I would actually say that the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., is another area where, WMATA and the metro is in a state of crisis. Sometimes it's in those states of true crisis that we find a North Star to point to and to figure out how we have to innovate and move forward.
Now, Mayor Adler has been a player in an early conflict on this frontier. He wanted ride shares in his city. He wanted them to stay, but with some city requirements around safety measures, including fingerprinting drivers. Long story short, Uber and Lyft left Austin after losing the fight, only to have the legislature intervene and preempt the city's regulation. Adler thinks the state's move thwarted further innovation, but he also thinks the city is in a good place, at least for now.
Well, I want to have as many options, modes of transportation for the people that live here as possible, and I think that rideshare is a big component of that. I never wanted Uber and Lyft to leave. What I did want to have was a conversation about how we could work together to come up with safety choices that my constituents wanted to have available to them. So I'm happy that rideshare is here and it's robust. It was here a year ago with Ride Austin and Fasten and other companies. I'm still a little disappointed that because our state intervened, we weren't able to develop that third-party cross-platform validator badge that would have enabled there to be a biometric background check in a voluntary world, not requiring anything of the market participants. So I think that Austin and the market could have, and the economy, that portion of the sharing economy could have evolved to a next generation innovation. Save and accept my state legislature stepping in to say that they wouldn't be encouraging us to do that. So when I look back, I mean, I'm happy that the service is here. It needs to be here. I wish we had been able to innovate more closely with those companies. I'm encouraged because the culture in those companies seem to be changing now. And I think that kind of collaboration with cities will be the way of the future, because it's not a zero-sum game and it's not a competition, and disruption is not something that cities run away from if it can improve the quality of life.
Many of the drivers drove for the startups last year, so mine this morning was a driver for Ride Austin in the past, and he's so happy that the big guys are back, and he's got a reliable, steady paycheck. So it is a fascinating space, but I think it shows you that
You know, in this whole smart transit ecosystem, there's not really a clearly defined model of what it's going to look like in the future. I mean, we got to be self-driving cars this morning, and you know, we've seen all of these different models, but it's going to look very different than I think what it is today. But I think the stark changes over the last 12 months just show you how quickly things can change in this ecosystem. You can have the equivalent of new mass transit pop-up systems that can flourish and that can die within, you know, a calendar year.
You should know, and you've probably guessed, that our crew relied on ride-hailing companies during our time at South by Southwest. Their app's maps glowed red, showing how many streets had been closed for the festival. Now, drivers were frustrated, and they'd often call to apologize that they simply couldn't get to where we were. Interestingly enough, it made pedicabs an integral part of downtown transportation infrastructure, at least for the run of the festival.
Damn this traffic jam, how I hate to be late. It hurts my motor to go so slow. Damn this traffic jam, time I get home my supper will be cold. Damn this traffic jam.
Back at the mayor's conference, we gathered around a big table for a rapid round review to answer the question, what have we learned? J.B. Wogan.
Well, I was struck that a year later, immigration is still such a hot topic among the mayors here. It came up on the first day of Civic I.O. where Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf stood up actually to ask about something completely different about. And when she stood up, the whole audience of mayors started clapping for her, and she took a moment to acknowledge the support that she's received from her peers. As listeners will probably remember, she exchanged some remarks with the White House and the Attorney General in recent weeks about warning members of her community about rumored immigration raids that were going to happen, and the Justice Department didn't appreciate that, and President Trump said that her actions would be under review. When there was the clapping, and then the mayor of Edina actually said, you know, cheered for her and said the resistance. And
I'm from Oakland, the mayor of Oakland, California.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. Good for you.
Thank you, and thank you, Tom, for your wonderful letter in support of my latest endeavors. The resistance.
It was a sort of an authentic moment of camaraderie among the mayors.
Julia Burrows.
Two last things that strike me. One is Mayor Khan said, mayors are where the action is. He said mayors do 34 things by lunch, and then we don't even eat lunch. So they're busy. They're looking for those solutions. And my final thought is to watch the surging number and action by women mayors. So we see Mayor Whaley in Dayton. We see Mayor Mihalik in Findlay, Ohio. And they really are owning this time and this movement and making a difference. One of the pitches today was on mentoring women and diversity. And so I think this is the year when mayors need each other, and we need more women.
Dustin Heisler.
Government agencies are looking at solving very, very complex challenges. And, you know, they're not just tackling potholes anymore. They're looking at, you know, behavioral issues and other things that have always been problematic and not easy to solve. And so I think I was really encouraged to see the willingness of mayors of cities of all size, whether it's small or large, to tackle these very complex social issues in an ecosystem of GovTech companies that are building amazing technology forming around them that, you know, are, you know, they're looking at tangible ways to actually address these problems. So I think when those two meet at the middle, you've kind of created the perfect storm of innovation in government.
And the staff photographer, David Kidd, final word belongs to you. How many pictures? What do you see? What do you like?
I'd say about 2,000 pictures. And I think my favorite is actually a picture of my old friend Nusha Galley, who won the mayor's pitch competition. I had met her a couple years ago at her classroom at MIT, where she showed me the product that is now turned into a company that she's the president of. And it was really fun and exciting to see her go from a student, and now she's a real adult with a company, and she won. It's all very exciting, and it's fun to think that I was there at the beginning and played no small part in her success.
you'll meet David's friend and the startup founders of both the Mayor's Pitch Session and one or two from the $100,000 competition run at the same time by Ashton Kutcher here at South By. Yep, that Ashton Kutcher. We'll explain when the next regular episode drops on March 22nd. In the meantime, check out exclusive coverage on both govtech.com and governing.com. Talk soon. Thanks to Dustin, JB, Julia, and David, and thank you for listening. Audio at the top of the podcast, courtesy of NPR.
We're just getting started. Let's keep the conversation going. Tweet us at GoPublicPod and subscribe to Go Public on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. And you know there's always more at govtech.com and governing.com.